Hi, welcome to NWR Newscast. I'm your host and news editor, Neil Ronahan. The show is going to be different from Radio Free Nintendo and Radio Trivia, our other two podcasts. Basically, we're going to focus more on, you know, recent news, probably have a bi-weekly format, go opposite Radio Trivia, stuff like that. But basically today, to just outline it, we're going to go over new releases, which there's not really much right now because we're in the dead of summer. Then we're going to go over whatever weekly games came out, like WiiWare, DSiWare, and Virtual Console. And then we're going to go over a couple news stories. And with me today is staff writer Luke. How do you pronounce your last name?
Belitsky.
Belitsky? Polish,
yep.
A?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, all right. I guess we can call this the third pillar. I guess it's going to be NWR Newscast for right now. The name might change. This is kind of just the pilot episode, just to see how it goes. But I guess let's get into it. We had basically one decent new release this week before the coming storm of Wii Sports Resort, and that's Little King's Story, which is from XSEED, developed by Marvelous, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I know. I'm pretty excited for this game. It looks like it's I've heard really good things about it. I think our UK correspondent and podcasting editing extraordinaire, Greg Leahy, got it back when it came out in Europe in April. And I don't think he was 100% in love with it, but he definitely seemed to enjoy it, and I've read nothing but great reviews of it.
Yeah, it's been getting great reviews, but from what I saw, I really think it's weird that it's lacking any pointer functionality, considering how in New Play Control Pikmin, it worked so well. And I just can't understand why they omitted that functionality, but from what I heard, it controls beautifully.
Yeah, I've heard really good things about the controls as well, but especially how it's so similar to Pikmin and it doesn't have that pointer control. But I'm definitely excited for it. I really want to get it. I don't think I should get it. I have the money available to get it, but I shouldn't really spend that money. But we'll see. I mean, I don't even know how much time I'm gonna get with Wii Sports Resort and all the other games I have and are reviewing. But
yeah, it's understandable. I might pick it up down the line.
Yeah.
Wii Sports Resort is definitely going to be a big one for me as well, and probably most of the other staff as well.
Yeah, I know Zach Miller, who's doing the review for it, he just received it last night. He put up a nice unboxing video up on the site, so that's cool.
Oh, that should be nice to look at.
Or not the unboxing video, just unboxing photos. with his dog and cat wearing a scarf. Or a lei that Nintendo sent him, but it's up on the site. I believe it's under a staff blog. But I'm excited to see what he's gonna say about it, and I'm really excited to play the game. I got to play it at E3, and everything that I played, which wasn't really that much because of the chaos that was E3, like I played the basketball game, which was a lot of fun. I played one of the dog fighting things I really wasn't in love with, but
the airplane one.
Yeah, it's the plane one when you're flying over the island, which was two-player, and I guess it's only two-player, but the island's gigantic, and you have to, like, shoot people down, and it's just the island's too big for it.
Did it make you want to get a Pilot Wings game for Wii with Wii Motion Plus controls?
Yeah, that would definitely be fantastic.
Yeah.
Although I've actually, embarrassing story here, I've never actually played Pilot Wings 64. I have the Super Nintendo one, but for some reason, I just missed that.
Same here, so don't worry too much.
I'm hoping that it comes out on Virtual Console, because I keep on hearing it come up about how cool it is and how great it would be for Wii.
Yeah, but looking at the current trend of Virtual Console, it might take years for it to come out.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's a good segue into this week in Nintendo Downloads, which is, you know, the weekly update that Nintendo sends out with WiiWare, DSiWare, and Virtual Console. But this week, there was no Virtual Console.
Ooh.
Which apparently, I know we initially reported it as it was the first week since Wii launched back in 2006 without Virtual Console, but there was the WiiWare launch last year on May 12th, 2008 to be exact. There was no Virtual Console there, but that was also the start of a new service.
Yeah,
I mean,
so
honestly,
it's understandable.
Yeah, and this week without Virtual Console, especially how it's just been a barren, empty wasteland for, I don't know, roughly a year maybe? After we've been having three titles a week, now we're down to one. We got two last week, so that's probably why we don't have any this week.
Yeah,
they blew their load.
It's been a dry spell after Majora's Mask came out and we get nothing. I'm guessing they... I hope they're not using the excuse that they released two virtual console games last week and they're using it as an excuse to release Zero.
Yeah.
That would be stupid. But on the WiiWare side, we got three games.
Which is the usual trend right now, is that we're getting three games. Which is nice. It's great. It's a lot better than 1-1 and 1.
Yeah, it's nice. Maybe all the development teams were ramping up and all collided into a big summer launch.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll just go through them briefly. The first one is Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles My Life as a Dark Lord, which is a sequel to one of the WiiWare launch titles. And this time, instead of playing as the good guys, you play as the bad guys. And more of a tower defense type of thing.
Yeah, which kind of goes against what made me initially excited for this game when it was revealed, I believe, at GDC back in March. I like My Life as a King. I know James had good things to say about it. I have a good friend of mine, like, fell in love with that game and kept on trying to get me to get it. But it's not necessarily my type of game in, like, the kind of slow sim type.
It's understandable, but it was definitely enjoyable.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good games at My Life as a King, and I heard My Life as a Dark Lord, and the thing that immediately came to mind was that we're going to get My Life as a King, but instead of being a hero, you're going to be a bad guy, and it's going to play the same way. Which, I guess if you really think about it, what are the people in My Life as a King doing? They're going out and attacking towers, basically. So that's, I mean, I guess it makes sense and everything, but it's just, I had this grander hope, and... Yeah. I don't know. Tower defense games were never stuff that I really got into that much to begin with. And the growing trend of them, like, it's just not my bag.
Yeah, I understand that. But I think it's cool that you get to summon creatures in order to stop the heroes, the endless horde of heroes. And like the last game, My Life as a Dark Lord is full of download content. I believe from... if I count up everything, if you buy the game and all the DLC, it's 3,700 points, so $37, which is just insane.
Yeah, it's basically like you're buying a DS game for your WiiWare.
Yeah, except it's not it's not the sequel to Final Fantasy IV.
But I guess the one thing about Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, My Life as a Dark Lord, sorry to go through the whole name, but I guess the one thing about it is that it's not like this is necessary to play the game, as it's to my understanding that I think a bulk of that DLC is like the costume stuff. It's maybe like some bonus creatures and dungeons or something.
Yeah, it's also bonus spells, and you get some cameos like Palom and Kane.
Oh, that's actually pretty cool. But
yeah, and you also get costumes, which just is superfluous.
I don't know, with the whole the Pepsi Rock Band summer thing, I might end up getting this just because of the fact that if I just keep on drinking Pepsi, I'm going to keep on getting like 200 Wii points with every bottle of Pepsi I get, so I might just buy everything that I have any interest on WiiWare at this point.
That sounds like a great way.
Yeah.
The second title we have is Battle Poker from Left Field Productions.
Famous for Excitebike 64, the NBA Courtside games, which I think there were two.
Yeah,
and Nitro Bike, which I guess they're not really famous for that. They just did that, which I guess shows you how far you can fall after being a Nintendo second party.
Yeah, it's a big curse. So we've been seeing this generation how...
Rare, Silicon Knights.
There you go.
Left Field. I mean, Left Field was never really like a huge company to begin with. They did Excitebike 64 as their claim to fame. And the only other games I remember from them are... NBA Courtside for N64, and then I think it was NBA Courtside 2002 with Kobe Bryant on GameCube.
Yeah, and supposedly in this game, you basically flip over the card and try to assemble the best poker hand in each round. And
is that kind of like how Jungle Speed was? Because
I've
heard that that's like a quick-moving card game, basically. That's where I'm coming with my basis on that. I keep on hearing that whoever plays Jungle Speed seems to love it.
Yeah, I'm guessing, except it's more poker-themed, obviously.
Yeah. So, well, I don't know. It just makes me think of Excitebots right now. That's probably the best poker implementation in a video game I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Because, unless you're doing, like, online poker for money, I've never really seen much of a point of just playing poker for, you know, the hell of it.
Yeah, but then again, WiiWare also has a bunch of other card games, like you said, Jungle Speed.
Yeah.
And we have a couple of others, so it might get lost.
I think there was a launch one that was a blackjack game. There's some other Game Loft games, I'm sure, that are card games.
Yeah, and then there's another Game Loft game that recently got re-rated in the ESRB, Sexy Poker.
Sounds pretty sexy.
Yeah, and it's actually, and if it actually comes out, it'll be the first rated M WiiWare game.
Yeah.
From
Game Loft. I'm not sure. I remember hearing that Splatterhouse 2, I think it was, that came out of Virtual Console, that's rated M, but I remember hearing something that it might have been teen, but I'm not sure. So it might be like the first mature rated thing on that's downloadable for a Nintendo system.
Yeah. I just want to see who has enough courage just to download it.
Yeah.
Or
that kind of reminds me of, like, the beer pong game last year. Which
yeah.
I'm still waiting for a night where I get really drunk and buy that game. I don't really think that's going to happen. I finally picked up Choniki the other week, but that's a tangent that I'll go into in the forums if you really want me to.
Okay.
But I mean, it's just one of those kind of like goofy games that basically the people that they're selling Sexy Poker and beer pong in the beer pong game, I think Pong Toss Frat Party Games was, I believe, the name of the game. But who are they selling that to? But like people who are just like, oh, cool, it's beer pong or sexy beer pong or sexy poker. Let's buy that. I mean, that's really what they're selling that to. They're not selling it to people who are actually looking for a good game.
Yeah, and it's
the same people that bought the Guy game for Xbox.
Yeah, and the contrast is Nintendo's family-friendly philosophy with Wii.
Well, you know, that hardcore market, that's the way you can tap them, is by releasing crap like Sexy Poker.
All right. And last but maybe certainly least is Five Spots Party, which, from what I understand it, you find mistakes in photos, which sounds... oh, so interesting.
How much is that game? Is it $5?
Yeah, Five Spots is $5, yes. 500 Wii points.
Five Spots, $5, makes sense. But
yeah.
Yeah, I think it's from Cosmonaut Games, which I've never heard of them before, and I think there's kind of a reason for that. I don't really think that Five Spots Party is up our alley, but...
yeah, it recently came out in Europe, and I don't know. It didn't seem to make a splash there as well.
Well, the last thing for this week in Nintendo downloads is DSiWare, where we got another art style game, which I think brings us up to maybe 5 art style games in total.
Awesome. Just DSi alone?
What, DSi, yeah, because DSi launched with Acquia, we had Pictobits, Box Life, Base 10, and I think Zengage is the 5th one. I might be missing one, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I really liked the WiiWare art style games, so when I get a DSi, my first 5 purchases are definitely going to be the art style games.
Some of them are misses. Like, I reviewed Acquia back when it came out. Like, it's good, but I'm not in love with it, but like, Pictobits is amazing. And Box Life gets really hard really fast, but it's just such a quirky game, and for $5, these are perfect.
Yeah.
But Zengage, it kind of reminds me vaguely of Mancala. I downloaded it last night, didn't get a lot of time to play it. But it's like you go through these different like levels where you have like different colored squares and like it's basically there'll be like white boxes in like a formation. And occasionally some of them will be like blue, and then you'll have balls that you'll have to rotate around to get them to all fit into the boxes. I'm doing a terrible explanation of it, but I mean it's all the art style games are really hard to explain, and this one, I mean, it seems really fun. I'm excited. I want to play more of it, and I mean that's really it's why I bought the DSi, was for stuff like this, because there really hasn't been any other reason to have a DSi besides DSiWare.
What about Mario versus Donkey Kong,
which is also fantastic, and you can also read my review of that too. My 2 DSiWare reviews were just brought up. Actually, there was a third, but I'm not going to bring that up because that game was awful.
Which one is that?
That was WarioWare Snapped.
Oh,
which
yeah.
I wanted to be good.
Tech
I actually
demo.
Mistakenly thought it was DIY at first, and then I realized that it wasn't, and then I got upset.
Big mistake there, buddy.
Yeah. All right, so let's go on to the news segment of this, which I guess this is the final segment, but also hopefully the meatiest. The June MPDs came out recently, and as usual, Nintendo's kind of kicking ass and taking names. Wii Motion Plus sold in June about 374,000 units combined between the Tiger Woods PGA Tour 10 bundle and just Motion Plus by itself. And the numbers for that is that Tiger Woods sold 205,000 copies of the bundle. That's just the bundle, which Tiger Woods did fantastic in its first month. And I think it was in the top 10. And that was just part of what it sold. And then by the standalone version of Wii Motion Plus got 169,000.
Yeah, I also heard that Wii Motion Plus sold well in Japan as well, thanks to Wii Sports Resort. So people are obviously picking the standalone units up for multiplayer, which all of the Wii Motion Plus enable games, they're all multiplayer games. So it's a nice way for Nintendo to garner those sales of the standalone units.
But, I mean, Wii Motion Plus seems to be already a big success. And with Wii Sports Resort, I can only imagine it going off the charts. I know I got mine with Tiger Woods.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you recently got one with Virtua Tennis 2009.
Yeah,
so,
which is fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I love it in Tiger Woods, actually. I picked it up for the first time in a while. I played it with my family the other day. And it's a lot of fun playing with Motion Plus, and I can't wait for Wii Sports Resort.
Yeah, I remember back in the April event when we went to the EA event, I was struggling with Tiger Woods.
Yeah, but that's the thing is that, like, there's a trick to it, but once you figure out that trick, it's great. And that's, I mean, I guess to comment on both my Wii Motion Plus reviews, which are Grand Slam Tennis and Tiger Woods. With Tiger Woods, that moment where you get the trick of it, at least for me, came very quickly. Like, I had a rough time in the beginning, but then I just got it. And in Grand Slam Tennis, it took so long to finally get it. And when I got it, I didn't really want to get it because I didn't really enjoy it.
I see. Yeah, I thought back in April it was pretty good, but
yeah,
the final product looks a little shallow.
Yeah, like, I think that's the thing, is that when we saw it back in April, it's like that was it. We were basically playing the entire game playing each other in a versus mode. Like, there's not much else to it.
Yeah.
But moving on to other MPD stuff, we got the Conduit, which sold about 72,000 units, I think just under that. That's how everyone's reporting it. It's not over 70,000, it's under 72,000.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you got to make the Conduit look bad, because that'll get the clicks. But, I mean, it didn't really do that bad. I mean, that's what, looking at it, it doesn't look like it did amazing, but I don't think it did awful. And, I mean, there's no way for us to really figure out if it did good or bad. We have to wait to see, you know, what Sega and High Voltage do coming out of this, but
yeah, and
it was also only out for a week in June too, so
it's pretty respectable numbers for a week. It certainly did a lot better than Excitebots.
Yeah, Excitebots, which I don't know, sold about 3 copies, I guess, to me, you, and like some other person.
Yeah, and we had that special event back when it released, that special Wi-Fi night.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that makes up a majority of the population who bought it.
but yeah, I mean, the Conduit didn't really seem to sell that well. That's kind of the, you know, the hot button issue is how well is it going to do. I don't really know how many legs it's going to get, but I guess, you know, word of mouth, if it spreads, which hopefully it will, you know, people will start picking it up. I mean, I have the game. Not necessarily in love with it, but I'm not really a big first-person shooter guy, so...
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I mean, from what I've talked to, I mean, like, other people that I know that are more into first-person shooters, they're interested in it, so that's great.
Yeah, I'm somewhat interested into it, but I guess the summer is a slow month for video gaming, like,
yeah.
The summer
season.
Yeah,
well, and that's also the economy, too.
Yeah, and the economy, yeah. Might pick up, like, during the holiday season, because you usually see games... And that's when people usually buy games for their kids and such.
And I don't really think there's going to be, you know, a game for Wii that will challenge the Conduit. I guess maybe Dead Space Extraction or something like that. But I don't really see, you know, another game coming in and taking, you know, that first-person shooter territory that
Resident
the Conduit's
Evil.
In. But Resident Evil, once again, I mean, not to say that, you know, on-rail shooters and, you know, first-person shooters where you can move are completely different. But they are. Like, you got... Resident Evil is rated mature. Dead Space is rated mature. You got The Conduit, which is this nice teen-rated game that's probably going to get a marketing push throughout the year. I mean, maybe, unless 72,000 really is a terrible number. I mean, I think it'll pick up. I don't think it's going to be a million seller, but I think it's going to be successful enough that, you know, High Voltage will be a little bit proven as far as selling something. Which I hope for. I mean, they're really nice guys. I'm not necessarily, you know, completely in love with the Conduit. There's definitely some issues. but I mean, I stand by John's 8.5 review. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a solid game. It's not the best game ever, but it's a very solid game.
Yeah, and it's good seeing a developer take a serious effort on making an exclusive Wii game.
Yeah.
Instead of making just a random minigame collection like Redneck Jamboree.
we'll get to what I think is just going to be a minigame collection in a little bit, but we'll finish up just the top 10 software sales. Wii Play wasn't on it for the first time in, I don't know, probably... when did Wii Play come out,
months.
Like 3 years ago?
Yeah, I think the streak was 29 months, which is just insane.
It's basically, it's been on the top 10 list since it came out, and it finally fell off. It's probably because of Motion Plus. I mean, maybe people stopped buying remotes, and now they're buying Tiger Woods, which placed at number 4 in the June 2000 software sales with 272,000 copies, which I'm assuming that that's not even including the bundle.
Yeah.
So I guess combined, Tiger Woods probably did over half a million, sold over half a million copies, which is great. I mean, it's a fantastic game.
Yeah.
And EA, it's good to see it getting its due.
Yeah, EA did pretty well this month. Even on Wii. They also, Fight Night came out, and it did
Fight
really
Night,
well.
Fight
for
Night came out at 6 and 7. 360 just ahead of the PS3. And also they had EA Sports Active. That was number 3 in the month, just under USC 2009 and Prototype. And EA Sports Active sold 300,000, which, I mean, that's I think, probably over a million, or at least damn close to it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, that's, once again, that's great for EA. I mean, they're going to do the modular route with EA Sports Active, though, where they come out with, like, expansion packs every 6 months, but... I mean, that's good. That's good that, you know, they're putting effort into the system and it's paying off for them. Yeah. Sega, on the other hand, poor Sega.
Didn't they they're making that Pilates game with Daisy Fuentes or something?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think that got announced, like, what, 2 weeks ago? And a release date got announced today, and it's coming out in about 2 weeks. Like, quick turnaround on that one. I think they realized that the fitness market was viable.
Well,
to push something out.
Well, you see now Nintendo, Sega, Ubisoft, and countless other game makers are making fitness games on Wii because they're selling well.
Yeah, the fitness genre is the new tower defense. Like, it's what everyone's doing. It's the flavor of the month. And it all started with Wii Fit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all just spiraling out of that. And I think EA is definitely capitalizing on it.
Yeah, and Wii Motion Plus seems to be Nintendo's second most popular add-on to the Wii.
Yeah, and I mean, going off of that, Wii Fit also came in at number 5 this month, and Mario Kart Wii came in at number 8, which 271,000 and 202,000 respectively, which, I mean, it's Wii is still dominating. I mean, with hardware sales, it's slowing down a little bit, but that's really just because of the economy. You can't really blame that on Wii as an entity slowing down, and DS is still killing, but what else is new?
Yeah, just the DS has always been a monster, and it's interesting to see that the breakdown between DSi and the DS Lite is almost 50-50. Like, DSi sold more, but it's relatively close.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's the case of, like, people are, you know, they want to go out and get a DS and DSi sold out. I don't think I've seen any problems with DSi selling out, which, you know, it's another famous botch prediction on us, because I believe Mike Gaiman made the comment about how he thought there were going to be sellouts.
Yeah.
At least that was the buzz, and that's, you know, goes hand in hand with our Wii prediction back in the day about how you could walk in day one and find one. But should probably move on from the MPDs, as, you know, we took our time with it. Always fun to talk about MPDs. I know.
Yeah.
It seems like every podcast relishes in that, and I'm privileged to relish in it.
Yeah, and
with the rest of the podcasting world.
And how we mature games are failing on the Nintendo systems, obviously.
Yeah. But, I mean, what can you do? As long as people keep on trying, I'll be happy, because I'll get to play good games. That's all I really want at the end of the day.
That's all that it matters.
Yeah. But going on to, you know, going back from that, how we were talking about how people make mini-game collections earlier, Super Monkey Ball Step and Roll was announced today. There was a countdown site on Sega's website, and I think it was basically the name of the game was leaked a couple weeks ago, I think, by Kotaku, but... Super mm-hmm. Monkey Ball Step and Roll is a new Monkey Ball game, the first console one since the Wii launch with Super Monkey Ball Banana Blitz, which was basically a minigame collection. And this new game uses the balance board, but according to the sliver of info that we got, it's a party game that brings back everything you love about Super Monkey Ball and promises plenty of new surprises around every turn. Mm-hmm. Which worries me, because I love Super Monkey Ball 1 and 2. Those are really... I remember when GameCube came out, you know, my little 12-year-old self, or however the hell old I was, went over to my friend's house the day it came out, and we played Luigi's Mansion, like I watched him play it for a little bit, and then we played Monkey Ball for hours, and it was amazing. And then, like, Banana Blitz, he actually, same friend, got that was one of the Wii launch games he got, and we played that, and it was awful. Like, I didn't like the controls at all, and the minigames just didn't really seem to have, like, the love and care that Super Monkey Ball 1 and 2's minigames had. Like, they ruined Monkey Target. How the hell can you ruin Monkey Target? It's, like, the perfect game.
I have no idea. I thought it was okay, but the GameCube ones were so better.
I mean, I have good things. I have a good feeling that I really hope it'll be good.
Yeah, but considering how some people have been spoiled by Marble Saga Kororimpa.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's a really good alternative to Super Monkey Ball.
Yeah, you picked that up recently, didn't you?
Yeah, and Nick gave
gave it a nine.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a game that I've been wanting to get, but it just, you know, there's too many games on Wii. Like, there
yeah.
really is, at least for me. Maybe not for anyone else, but, you know, for...
And yet,
for
everybody,
us and ours.
Everybody complains how there's a lack of games on Wii.
Yeah, whatever system you like, you're probably going to bitch about how there's no games on it.
Of
so,
course.
Whatever.
Of
or whatever
course.
Game, whatever system you don't like, you're going to bitch about it.
Yep.
But let's go on to the next topic, which, Luke, you got. It's
Exceda's bringing over Wizard of Oz Beyond the Yellow Brick Road, which in Japan, it was released as Rizowad. And it's an RPG based on the Wizard of Oz series, and it uses a unique control scheme. The touchscreen is actually used as a trackball, which is a very interesting move, and the visuals, if you ever saw them, they look gorgeous. They look better than the Final Fantasy remakes on DS, which are in 3D, and this
yeah.
game is in 3D as
Cause,
well.
Because how is it? It's a 3D grind. Is it like complete 3D environments, or is it like 3D characters on a 2D plane or something?
It's a 3D environment. In Japan, the game got all right reviews, like 6 through 8. I never read into it on the pros and cons, but just thinking about the trackball controls using the DS touchscreen just interests me, really.
I mean, to me, that just kind of reminds me of, like, the, you know, Super Mario 64 DS, where you had the stupid little thumb thing to put on the screen. Like,
yeah, but
the game looks really cool. I love RPGs with kind of, like, you know, weird, I guess, settings to them, or, like, familiar settings. Like, I really liked Eternal Sonata, which had the whole thing with, like, Frederick Chopin and everything.
Yeah.
And this game, like, I mean, it looks really cool. Like, hell yeah, I'll play an RPG with Dorothy and Toto and, you know, the rest of the gang.
Yeah,
and apparently the story, it, like, basically uses, you know, the classic story that we all know from the film and everything. It's kind of like a launching off point. That's just how you start it. And then there's this whole thing with, like, 4 witches that you have to defeat. So it's, like, basically you're collecting crystals or some crap.
Yeah, in Japan, the game was released by D3. And recently, D3 got bought out by Namco Bandai, so I'm thinking that Exceed actually has contacts in Namco Bandai, so that's how I'm thinking that they acquired the rights to, with the help of WB, who probably has the movie rights to the franchise.
Yeah, because I believe Exceed is publishing it with a license from Warner Brothers, which Warner
yes.
Brothers probably reigns dominion over the Wizard of Oz license in America. At least North America.
Yep.
Well, and we got one more story before we wrap this up. We got Nyx from Nyx Quest, Kindred Spirits, the WiiWare game from Over the Top Games, is going to be featured in Game Lion Studios' Furry Legends, which is another WiiWare game. And, I mean, it's another case of WiiWare developers working together. In Super Meat Boy, there's how many independent characters?
There's 12 characters from 12 different independent developers, but those those characters aren't really exclusive onto WiiWare. Like, one of the characters is Tim from Braid, which had Xbox Live Arcade and a PC release. And the latest one was Commander Video, which is the character in the Bit Trip games.
Yeah, and I think the alien from Alien Hominid is going to be a character in Super Meat Boy.
Yes.
But, I mean, Nick's being in Furry Legends, I mean, you recently did the interview with GameLine Studios, the developers of Furry Legends.
Yes,
I know it's a ball-rolling game, but from what you know about Furry Legends, how do you think that, you know, like, a winged angel chick is going to fit into Furry Legends gameplay?
I have no idea, really, but it really has to do with that the developers that were really big fans of the game, so they probably wanted to jump on the opportunity to grab that character as a cameo appearance.
Yeah, no, I mean, after reading that interview, I'm really excited for Furry Legends. It looks like it's going to be great. That's coming out in the fourth quarter of this year.
Yeah.
And we actually, when Nick's Quest finally comes out, which I'm hoping it's going to be any week now, because I played the game at E3 and I've kind of been building up excitement for it. And I actually finished up an interview recently with the Nick's Quest developers over the Top Games, and that'll be going up, I believe, the day that Nick's Quest comes out. So anyone who wants to read an awesome interview, hope that that game comes out soon, or hope that I give up waiting to have an interview come out on the day the game comes out and just post the interview.
Yeah, that's a nice barometer, too.
I have a feeling it's going to be like Battle Poker, which I don't think we mentioned before, how Battle Poker was supposedly finished or near finish about a year and a half ago or something like that. Now it's finally coming out on WiiWare. I hope Nintendo doesn't do that with Nick's Quest. It's already out in Europe.
Well, we never know the status of WiiWare games, so maybe something fell through. And I doubt they had a long queue since they moved up from 1 to 2 WiiWare games a week to 3 now for the past couple of weeks.
And I know, I think the Monkey Island game, oh, no, the Monkey Island game, I think, like, there was some rumor that got spread that it was going to come out this week, but I think Telltale recently said that they don't know when it's going to come out, which, that seems to be the case with all this stuff with WiiWare, is that developers just have no idea when anything is going to come out. Like, talking to Over the Top Games, I asked them, like, do you know when the game's going to come out, and they're like, eh, whenever Nintendo puts it up. It's like, they don't have any idea, and that kind of sucks.
Yeah, going back to GameLine with Furry Legends, it's actually not their first ball rolling game, because they actually did Locoroco High on the cell phones for Sony.
Oh yeah, I know they did cell phone stuff. I didn't know that they worked with Locoroco.
Yeah, so
I've actually never played Locoroco, but I played a hell of a lot of Rolando, and apparently that's like the same game. So
yeah, it essentially is. But I think it will be interesting how Furry Legends will be their second ball rolling game, and if they used anything apply it to Furry Legends from Locoroco.
Yeah.
And they said that Little Big Planet and also Sonic inspired games. Like, the Little Big Planet is because of the physics, and Sonic is obviously
because of the speed.
Speed, and Sonic can go into a ball. To go faster, yeah.
Yeah, and I know, I mean, Furry Legends looks really cool, and like I said, like, Nick's Quest looks really cool. I mean, as far as, strangely enough, it was asked in the interview, did they draw inspiration from Kid Icarus? And they didn't. They didn't at all, and
must be
also
some
because,
kind of coincidence.
Yeah, it used to be Icarin Kindred Spirits, but apparently that got changed.
Yeah, I heard it
because
was
of
a
legal
licensing
reasons. I don't know what legal reasons, but legal reasons nonetheless. I guess maybe someone has a copyright on Icarin.
Yeah, well, you never know. And plus, it's better for them since they're a really small developer and they don't really want to waste any money on legal matters.
Yeah. I mean, Next Quest, I think, actually fits the game better because, I mean, the main character's name is Next, not Icarus. Icarus, that's who she's looking to find, but
mm-hmm. I guess they wanted to tie into Greek mythology more.
Yeah. Well, I think that's where they got a lot of inspiration from that, but
yeah,
guess,
it seems like it.
I guess you know, that's about it for the pilot episode of NWR Newscast, or, you know, something with a better title. I'm not really sold on that name, but it seems to fit.
That's a good working title.
Yeah, it's basically a working title until, you know, someone gets hit with, you know, a lightning bolt of inspiration that isn't, flavor in your ear, or something like that. Or whatever bullshit the RFN crew came up with. But that's basically
those
just all involving, like, objects going into an ear.
Oh,
I don't know what they've been doing. But
I don't even want to know, Neil. I don't seriously don't want to know.
I'm a little frightened. I think
Lindemann's
been playing too much Choaniki, or at least dreaming about it too much. But I guess we'll see what happens with that. But hopefully, as I mentioned before, the plan for this is to basically have it be bi-weekly, kind of opposite weeks where there's supposed to be radio trivia. So, I mean, we'll see how this goes. But for the most part, we're going to try to do it bi-weekly and try to incorporate other members of the staff too, you know, get everyone on here because it's, you know, not going to be that long of a show. It's not going to be kind of like the Herculean effort that Radio Free Nintendo is, where you're there for like 4 days recording. I want to keep this to like a half an hour around then. Right now we're going over a half an hour, but whatever. Just keep it around there.
Yeah.
And yeah, bi-weekly, so hopefully the next episode will be recorded the first week of August. As also it works out conveniently because I'm not really going to be around next week, so.
Nice excuse.
Yeah, I will actually be playing Wii Sports Resort while on vacation.
Oh wow.
It's a weird feeling that I might legitimately be playing Wii Sports Resort at a resort. That's crazy.
Oh nice.
But
maybe that's Nintendo's original intention.
Well, I guess that just about does it for the debut episode of NWR Newscast. I'm your host, Neil Ronahan, signing off. That's Luke Balitsky.
Balitsky. Wow. There you go.
I'll get it someday. But, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, just like how Johnny screwed up your name.
Yeah.